New Hampshire doesn't exactly reflect how the rest of America is doing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, New Hampshire voters go to the polls in the state's all-important primary contest. The Republican presidential candidates have been campaigning in the Granite State for weeks and months, but the voters of New Hampshire are different from the rest of the country, and so is the state's economy. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
New Hampshire is growing faster than the rest of the country. Its unemployment rate at 5.2% is one of the nation's lowest. The state has no income tax, no sales tax, and the poverty rate is low. You'd think the economy wouldn't be much of an issue for the candidates campaigning there. Steve Dupree of the New Hampshire Republican Party says you'd be wrong.
They always talk about jobs because they realize they're not only speaking to New Hampshire voters, but nationally. But they focus more on the debt and deficit because this is such a conservative state fiscally.
Despite its outlier economic status, New Hampshire, through its first-in-the-nation primary, has an outsized say in who the next president will be. The small number of voters are able to get one-on-one attention from the candidates. Those voters give the winner front-runner status going into subsequent primaries. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The NASDAQ and S&P up about 1%. The Dow up 0.75%, 89 points, at 12,481. European shares closed mostly higher today as well. More than 1%, as a matter of fact. Businesses barely increased their inventories in November. The Commerce Department said today those wholesale businesses boost their stockpiles. They may boost their stockpiles soon due to consumer demand. The gadgetry on display at the Consumer Electronics Show going on in Las Vegas reminds us about the vulnerabilities of technology, such as cyber theft. Hacking and identity theft costs businesses billions of dollars a year. And so some banks now are doing something they rarely do, which is share information with one another to thwart cyber attacks. The Wall Street Journal reports security officials from Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs are expected to discuss creating a data center that would be responsible for sifting through mounds of secret bank information to signal whether any cyber attacks could happen. Ted Crooks is a banking security analyst, and he heads up Crooks Analytics. He's with us now from San Diego. Hey there, Ted.
Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing well and surprised, as you may be, that banks are even considering working together. I mean, they have an historical sort of laissez-faire, hands-off attitude toward one another, don't they?
Well, they do, at least officially. But behind the scenes, there's been a lot of cooperation, often through intermediaries, for a long time. It may involve a vendor. It may involve a network like MasterCard, for example. So there are lots of ways they've worked together, but mostly through third parties. It is rare for them to come together as a group of banks specifically.
But sharing information, I mean, is that going to work and improve their collective, capability to stop cyber theft?
Well, I think it will improve their capability because there are lots of means of detection of threats that work best when you look across all the attempts rather than just at one slice of them at one bank. But the issues of dealing with privacy, there are lots of technical tricks that can be used. So very often we can share information that reveals the threats but doesn't reveal secret marketing activities or portfolio strengths and weaknesses, the kinds of things the banks are sensitive about.
What do you think finally pushed them to work together, to get together on this?
There's two motivations. The straightforward one is that they're being attacked by bad guys taking money away from them, and the bad guys cooperate. They know what each other are doing to a large extent, and the banks should do so too. And it's very easy to detect a repeated attack across one bank after another and another. But if they don't share that information, whatever the criminal finds works at Bank A, they'll do it B, C, and D. And it also has a long-term effect. We've built a bit of a hothouse for these advanced hackers, making it quite profitable for them. And unless as an industry and a society, we can tamp this down a bit, make it less attractive, we give them the opportunity to keep building up better and better strengths.
Ted Crooks, founder of Crooks Analytics in San Diego. Ted, thanks.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. and by Reputation.com. Monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
At a hearing today in Washington, the Federal Aviation Administration said there won't be big changes to air show safety rules. Now, that comes in the wake of some big air catastrophes, including a World War II era plane that crashed into spectators at a popular race in Reno, Nevada. 11 people, including the pilot, were killed in that disaster. Dozens more were injured. Marketplace's Bob Moon has more.
Planes are supposed to fly mostly parallel to the grandstands at air shows and not point directly at the crowd. But aviation attorney Mike Danko says it isn't the first time that rule has failed to keep spectators safe.
The problem with that, which we should have known previously, is that it doesn't work when an aircraft goes out of control. But that has happened in the past, so the FAA wasn't paying attention.
Danko says the Federal Aviation Administration has created a false impression that it carefully regulates the industry. Mostly, he says, the agency takes the word of airshow organizers.
It would almost be better if the FAA backed out entirely, and then people would know that they're taking their chances.
Michael Barr is an aviation safety expert at the University of Southern California. He agrees regulators need to take a more active role, but points out there's no way to guarantee safety.
Try to look at every single risk that can happen, you will end up closing the air show. You'll just stop all air shows.
More than 10 million people attend air shows in the U.S. every year, and until last year, there hadn't been any spectator fatalities since 1951. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, there's a grand opening for a Walgreens drugstore in Chicago later today. But it's no ordinary store. This is the flagship of the entire chain. The store will feature wine and self-serve sushi and smoothie bars, even a place to get manicures. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel will be on hand. So will Illinois Governor Pat Quinn and a host of other political dignitaries. And given the politics in the land of Lincoln, let's hope they don't fight over the blood pressure machine. Easy, fellas. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You sit down, you flip on the television, and boom, just like that, you're inundated with choices.
There are certain channels that you look at, like everyone pays for, no one knows why they pay for. If you're a channel that people pay for and don't know why, you have a very short lifespan.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Pay what you need. The future of TV next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.